As part of the VA Mission Act, Congress told the Veterans Affairs Department to consolidate its various private sector care programs into one. But a new report by the Government Accountability Office finds VA hasn't done a great job interacting with private sector providers up to this point. Some are paid within days. Others, though, don't see a reimbursement for months, even after they've supplied all the documentation VA wants. Sharon Silas is acting director for healthcare issues at GAO, and she talked with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu about the administrative challenges VA needs to fix.
The VA Choice Program was created in response to lengthy wait times that veterans were experiencing at VA medical facilities. So to administer the program, the VA contracted with two TPAs, or third-party administrators, to process claims and make payments to the providers. And so basically how the process works is once a veteran is authorized and receives care from a choice provider, the provider submits a claim to the TPA for reimbursement. And then once that claim has been reviewed and it's determined that it meets certain requirements, the TPA then pays the provider. If there's any issue at all with any of the required elements, then the claim is typically returned to the provider, and then it usually gets resubmitted as a new claim.
And as far as whether payments are timely or not, you basically found the answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no. Enormous variability there, anywhere between 7 days and 68 days. And those are for clean claims, theoretically, that shouldn't require any further documentation. So what accounts for that wide variability there?
Well, we identified a number of factors through the course of our review, and a lot of the factors had to do with inadequate provider education on filing claims. There were also a number of reimbursement requirements that could add to the time for processing claims. And one of the things that we discussed in the report is the untimely payments from the VA to the TPAs themselves. So if VA was untimely in paying invoice payments to the TPAs, it could result in the TPAs having insufficient funds to pay the providers, which at times they found resulted in delays in payments to the providers.
And I know as part of your review, one of the things you did is went and talked to actual providers who were participating in the program. What sorts of concerns and challenges did they express to you?
Well, basically, the challenges or concerns that they raised with us was that primarily one, responses to their customer service calls, and we discussed this in the report. A lot of the providers experienced long delays in their calls to the call centers and getting response from the TPAs, and they also identified issues with having enough education and training on the claims process itself. The contracts didn't include requirements for the TPAs to educate and train providers for the choice program. But we did find that the TPAs did take some steps to educate the community providers in some instances. So they would provide information through the newsletters or emails or updated information through the websites.
And we should say that one of the reasons, as you note in the report, that this is relevant right now is that VA is right now in the process of designing the successor to the Choice Program under the VA Mission Act. So I'm just curious, did any of those providers outright tell you that they're so frustrated with the way things have been working, they're considering not participating in that upcoming community care program?
Well, as we discuss in the report, ensuring that providers receive timely payments is really important because it affects the willingness for providers to participate in the current Choice program and also, as you mentioned, the new Veterans Community Care Program. And this is really critical because the VA's Community Care Program success is really dependent on having a robust network of providers.
What can VA do better here as it sets about designing this new program to make sure that it increases provider satisfaction at least?
Well, the VA's Choice Program was set up as a temporary program, and the VA has learned some important lessons based on experience with the program and working with the TPAs. And we did a review of the request for proposals for the new VA Community Care Program, and the request for proposals actually includes a number of requirements that were missing from the Choice Program contracts. So some of the requirements that are outlined in the RFP for the new program include claims processing and payment timeliness requirements, and then also providing timely and effective provider community service. So I think what's really going to be important for VA is that they monitor the future TPA's compliance with these requirements and to make sure that they're taking appropriate corrective actions if the requirements aren't being met.
I would have to assume that at least some of these providers already engage with other federal health programs like TRICARE, like Medicare, like Medicaid. Have the procedures and requirements under the CHOICE program been markedly different from what providers have to do under those programs? And are there opportunities to kind of harmonize the VA's programs with other existing federal programs?
Well, that's a really good question. So each of those programs are governed by different federal regulations, and in some instances, the VA's CHOICE program has much more stringent regulations governing the delivery of the care. So for example, one of the requirements that's unique to the CHOICE program is that veterans need to receive authorization in order to receive care from a community provider. And the Medicare and the TRICARE programs don't have that same requirement necessarily. So I do think, though, that there could be potential opportunities to gain some lessons learned from looking at how TRICARE and the Medicare programs contract and administer their programs.
As I understand it, one of the main points of passing the Mission Act was to consolidate not just the CHOICE program, but the various other care in the community programs that VA currently runs or has been running. And I just wonder if there's reason to think that having everything moved into one program reduces administrative complexity for VA in a way that might set them up for success and help solve some of these challenges.
Yes, in fact, one of the things that we learned during the course of our review is that a number of the providers that were participating in the CHOICE program were also participating in other VA community care programs. And those programs had different requirements than the CHOICE program and also had different offices for submitting claims. And so what we learned from talking to providers in our review is that there was some confusion about which office to submit which claims. And oftentimes these providers, they wouldn't be clear as to which program the veteran was receiving care.
Beyond what we've talked about, any other significant recommendations that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, we made two recommendations in our report. One is, addresses the customer service issues and just ensuring that the VA collects data and monitors compliance with the customer service requirements for not only just the veterans, but also for the providers that are calling in with questions or concerns. We also make another recommendation related to secondary authorizations. As I noted before, veterans have to receive authorization to receive care through the CHOICE program. Oftentimes, if they've received authorization to receive care, it's for a specific time frame. And sometimes veterans need to receive care longer than the time frame that's authorized, and so they would submit a secondary, or the providers would submit a secondary authorization for a request for care. What we found, though, is that the secondary authorization requests, some of the medical facilities were not adhering to the 5-day requirement for a review and decision to authorize the secondary request. And so we made a recommendation that VA needs to monitor data on the secondary authorization requests and make sure that medical facilities are adhering to the policy and then take any kind of corrective actions they need to if they're not in adherence.
Sharon Silas is Acting Director for Healthcare Issues at GAO, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. Find this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive.